This is News Radio 560 KPQ. Our time is 7:15. On the line with us this morning, Representative Mike Steele and Kerry Condotta from the 12th District. We say good morning to both you gentlemen. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And, of course, breakfast goes along with morning, and the breakfast after the bill is just about, well, receive some bipartisan support. Anything that's bipartisan gets support is worthy of the news, Mike Steele.
Yes. You know, it was actually an overwhelmingly supported bill, 85 to 15 in the House. Coming out with really strong bipartisan support, and really pleased to see that happen.
And can you describe the inner workings of the bill, providing breakfast for kids who need it so they can study and learn?
That's basically it. It allows school districts to offer breakfast after the bell in their first classes of the day so that they can prepare and arrive ready to learn and be focused. But one element of the bill in particular that I worked on and I was very proud to see passed was the partnership between the Department of Agriculture and the Office of Superintendent of Public Instruction, which basically allows local farms to be part of that process. So local farms can, or local school districts rather, can source food from local farms surrounding their districts and helping to stabilize the economies for those farmers.
And for these kind of farm to schools, that's usually a good opportunity too to expand the market access for farmers who maybe they have some things that they're looking for new places to go, and this can offer an opportunity to get into a school district.
Exactly. And not only that, but it also provides nutritious alternatives for these kids and, again, makes them aware of where their food comes from and may, in some instances, put them in contact with food right there in their backyard, which is really exciting.
We're speaking with Representative Mike Steele and Kerry Condotta this morning on News Radio 560 KPQ. Mr. Condotta, can you tell us what chances we have of getting a budget going this year?
Well, I'd say we have a pretty good chance of getting a budget out. The good thing is this is unusual after all these years to see a situation where we have a lot of money, close to $2 billion available between the reserve fund and even without touching the reserve fund, we have about $700 million. So there's plenty to deal with, and that makes it a little easier. So I think we will have a budget of sorts, and that process is starting right now.
I know that Governor Inslee has asked to dip into the reserves to speed up the budget from that was agreed upon last year that would deal with the McCleary decision. Has that been talked about at all amongst your crew?
Yeah, I don't think that's likely at this point. I think that would be pushing the envelope. We do want to keep those reserves strong. We don't know what's in the future, although it looks good. I don't see that happening. It requires 60 votes, and I'm just not sure that's going to happen.
Am I right in thinking that one reason we don't have a budget now is because of the disagreements over the Hearst decision?
Oh, no, that has to do more with the capital budget. The regular budget is in regular process. We finished it last year. This will be a standard supplemental budget, so nothing unusual there, but the Hearst is tied to the capital budget, which Mike is familiar with.
Yeah, I sit on the capital budget committee, and of course, really the big issue around Hearst and the capital budget is the nexus to economic development. People really have a hard time understanding how the two are connected, but you really can't have economic development without access to water. And, you know, you can't allow the Puget Sound to continue to build 12,000 new units a year for the next 5 years while simultaneously trying to cut off water access to all of the folks in the rural parts of the state.
And we'll let you guys go with this one because I know you guys are busy with lots to do this morning. Obviously, the Hearst decision is one of those things that seems to be really kind of people are butting heads over this. And I saw that the Senate committee yesterday, I believe, passed their version. The Senate last year has passed four versions of a Hearst fix, and it's never really gotten anywhere in the House. I'd imagine we'll see another Senate passing of this bill sometime maybe next week. Where does it stand? Where does a fix stand in the House for you guys?
Well, our chief negotiator is looking at it, reading it. He just got it yesterday afternoon. I will be chatting with him today before we leave and see where he's at. But the early feeling was there still needs to be a little more work, but it is getting closer. There is movement. The good news is there hasn't been movement. Most of the offers have been either the same or worse. This one, from what we can see on the surface, is quite a bit better. So at least we're seeing movement in the right direction, and hopefully we'll get this resolved.
And I will say we've been teeing up the process in this week. We did pass out both the capital budget and the bonds necessary to implement that budget this week out of committee. So it's telling me that there is some desire to see these negotiations through the end and get a budget passed.
Representatives Mike Steele and Kerry Condotta from the 12th District, thanks so much for your time today. Shall we do it again next Friday, guys?
Sounds great.
Well, absolutely. We'll have lots more to tell you. There's lots more on the table, and, you know, we're happy to chat with you.
Fast-paced session, lots happening.
Thanks so much, gentlemen. Have a great rest of your day and a great weekend. We look forward to talking with you next week.